Folks, welcome back to the iHealth channel, the FinFab channel, the EMBC network, the works here, new day with me, your host, Hurricane Age. Great topic today, the topic of, just getting better, but in a different format with my guest, who is an author. He is actually a founder of a unique, I would say, method, and I'm going to leave that to him because he's going to tell us about his method and his work. He is not a coach, as you would know, not a mentor, as you know. He prefers to be called a guide, and we'll talk more about that because that's an interesting, angle that he has. So without any further ado, I have with me Christian Hoffman. Christian, welcome to the show, man.
Nice to see you, Eric Kane. Nice to be here.
My pleasure, dude. My pleasure. So we had some fun before the show, let's first things first, right? It's an interesting concept that you do guiding or guidance as opposed to mentorship or, coaching. Now they're all within, like cousins of the same, under sure. The same family. I mean, there some people do all of the above, some people do different things. And there's an angle there that you choose. But before we get into all that, if you can tell our audiences a little bit about your journey that got you into doing the work that you do, because your sports naturel method is different. So we're going to talk about this. So you work with the life stuff, you work with the fitness stuff and the health and wellness overall. So let's talk about that, because again, we're all about health and wellness here. So let's do that, man. Talk to us about your journey.
Right. I don't know if it's that interesting for a lot of people, because you always figure you're talking to someone unknown, right? But in general, when I was young, I had to go to karate lessons because my father, he's a bouncer, and he saw like the benefit of that one. And also my older brother went, he was six, so I was 4 years old at the time. And I've been doing that my whole life, different styles and methods, and it was all fun. Now, I'm not typically your average fighter, because I don't like to fight, but I like the techniques. I like just playing around, messing around. And instead of my brothers, they are more the fighters. Like if you say something wrong, you probably have the wrong side of them. And I couldn't always care less. I also like laughed and talked about it. But in that journey, if you come across like martial arts, there's a lot of good ways to get yourself fit. And that's the take that I wanted to get from it. So I learned a lot from the different styles, how they do it, and kind of exercises, always like the novelties that I was interested in. And when I was a little bit older in my 20s, I think, hey, what I want to do in my life. As you know, in Europe and maybe so in America, you going to school, you sign yourself eventually like, hey, what do I want to do in my life? And that's the journey you're going to take. You're going to go to college, you work, and you go to your pension, you die, something like that. And when I was in my 20s, I thought like, hey, what am I going to do? I don't want to be doing this same thing. I'm not cut out for this. So let's do something else. And I went to Australia for a year. I did some other countries, but that was the main one where I learned a lot. And I worked out by myself and looked at the principles, what is working, what is not working. Especially if you're by yourself, with nobody around, what are you going to do? Because only walking, I hated walking. I mean, it's good for you, but just walking, I didn't like it. But as I came to grow older, I now know the benefit, and I can do it with listening to podcasts and everything else. I mean, I make it more enjoyable for myself. But I worked out with stones, with running on the hills and running down the hills, swimming for myself, tree climbing, and doing everything else what I thought like, hey, I enjoy this. So my take on working out and exercises was more like, hey, do I enjoy it? Because I don't like the grind going to a, I did that when I was 16, actually. My mother and father, they both were working out in a fitness place, and they asked me to come along. And when I did, it was just, there was a plain all exercise what you normally see in the fitness area. And after 2-3 weeks, I was really bored. Like, I know all this exercise equipment over here. I know what to do, but it doesn't challenge me anyway. Like, except for like, I can do this a little bit longer, a little bit more heavy weight. It was not cutting it for me. So eventually, after Australia, I developed my own way of doing things and keep it interesting and keep people on their toes and use different principles. Because at that time in the 90s, and maybe you know that too, a lot of stuff and information was still driven from the bodybuilding scene, from the Schwarzenegger and such in the 60s. So all the general idea was like go big or go home and all different things. It's like, okay, well, I can show you results with two times training in a week and having gains, right? You don't have to do five times because your body needs rest. And five times, is it really workable for a lot of people? They go into their work 5 times a week, 6 times a week. Like you have to drag them by their ears to go to the fitness class. So I don't want to do that. I'd rather kick them. No, I'm joking. But you have to entice them a little bit. Like, hey, come over here. I make something fun for you. So, and that's what I started to do, and that's how I built Sport Naturel. And people that came became very loyal. I mean, they liked it. They were always challenged, and it was always something new. Like we did water training, swimming, breathing techniques, climbing in trees. We were fighting each other. We played soccer, volleyball. We did a lot of different things to make it interesting. Every lesson was different, so you never know what you're going to get. And that is, I think, more a recipe for success, and it also keeps you in shape, and also mentally it propels you forward. Like if I ask you to jump on a barrel that's like 1 meter high, then first of all it's like, oh, that's pretty high, and there's a bridge of like, hey, can I get there, or can't I do it? And most of the time people, if they think I can't do it, they feel like I'm not challenged by it, because maybe the challenge is a little bit too big. And if you provide the steps to it and eventually they can do it, there's a high payoff. I mean, there's a more of a self a confidence that you are working on, and therefore from self confidence you work on self esteem, and self worth is that's underneath there. And if you can establish that, you grow people. And I thought it was always more beneficial to grow the mind and the body than just pumping iron.
Well, so there's a lot there, and I love, your spin on things here, because I mean, really, what you've kind of developed a, we have different modalities of working out and fitness in the world, right? And they come up almost every few months. You have a whole new system and a new way of doing things. We have from boot camp to all kind of crazy stuff out there. TRX, whatever. I mean,
Zumba.
Zoom, but I mean, yeah, and everything works, and it depends what you want. What, there's that's the beauty about it, right? All movements, all exercise, all fun. It depends what you want, but you're right, it has to be fulfilling. But you come from a school that I appreciate personally, and I love, because I just like you, I've been in martial arts since I was 9 years old, and I've done 20 years of karate, Shotokan, and I've done taekwondo, and I've done
Are you sure to come?
yeah, I did Shotokan, yeah,
Okay.
for many years. So yeah, that was my first actually entry to the martial arts world, and it's the traditional format. So it's all the old school stuff, all the Japanese, stands. I mean, I'm talking about traditional. Yeah, in taekwondo, it's more free, kicks and all the stuff. It's pretty cool, and your flexibility is awesome, and you can fly a little bit. that was at a phase in my life, because you're young and you have all that, so you can do it. And then I discovered, a different art, which is the Bujinkan, or like the Shinobiru or Ninjutsu, as and that's pretty cool stuff too. I mean, it's kind of very comprehensive. We do all kind of stuff, and so a lot of the stuff that you're talking about is kind of combination of all these things. And that's the thing. There's fitness, like in the traditional term, where you have to bulk up and Arnold style, and you go in and, as you said, go big or go home. Although that actually can work in the business world as a good, motivator. Like, you got to do it, you got to do it big, right? But there is a difference between someone who wants to really look huge and go for many Mr. Universe or, Mr. America, whatever, or someone who wants to be fit. I mean, a lot of martial artists, they don't look big, but they're very fit and very, toned. And I mean, you know that. I mean, if anyone who's done martial arts, you know that you go through a lot of training and a lot of cardio and a lot of muscle training, a lot of stuff, and using pretty much no weights. You're using natural stuff or your body weight and resistance training. gravity also works, and your compadres work with you. I mean, we used to do like push-ups and pull-ups and push people up and down and carry all kind of stuff. We've done it. And then you use the natural aspect of things, which is like using nature. But I love what you did with the spins, right? You added a few things, more fun things. It's not just workout. You know, you throw in some intense stuff. You mentioned soccer, I mean, or football around the world. Soccer is not a, it's an hour and a half running up and down about 100 yards. It's a pretty long, game.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at those soccer players out there, I mean, they're drenched. I mean, you can probably switch that jersey three times during the game and it's still going to be wet, right? There's no stopping. It's just they keep going. I mean, and sometimes that game goes another half hour if they have extra times, right? So it is brutal. And when you do that, I mean, you're never going to see a lot of people who actually have playing soccer that have any fat in their body. I haven't seen one, at least not professionally, right? So it's a lot of stuff. So you used all these worlds of additional fitness components and endurance components, and you put them in your own package in a different way. And I think when you do training for martial arts, I mean, the first thing you do, you don't go to techniques first. You go in, you got a 25 minutes to 30 minutes just doing all kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, that you got to tone. And then when you do like camp training, I mean, we used to do those things. They're brutal, man. I mean, you run long. Yeah, I mean, those things, I forget. It's a very long-term stuff, and it's intense because you do this 24/7 almost. I mean, you have a few hours of sleep. The rest of the day is like you're working out different parts of the body and different techniques and different combat formats and so on and so forth. It's a lot. So it's intense. So I love that concept. But I love what you said about, I want to go back to something that you said, that you love the arts for the concept of what they are. You're not there to fight. And that's actually something I just want to just extract quickly because, you know, there is competitive, like fighting sports, you know, such as UFC and MMA and all that stuff. But then you have the traditional arts, which is more of, you know, the technique, the spiritual stuff, you know, the traditional way of doing things. It's really arts, right? And so you have both things. And all these things are effective. The problem is, you know, people think that when you're doing these things, you're like this tough, you know, guy or gal, and you're just out there to figure out to pick a fight. That's the least on anybody's mind. Now, of course, everybody has a dark side. And the dark side can come up anytime. But one of the things that we learn in this world of martial arts is that you don't go fight. You don't seek a fight. We have a saying, the best fight is the one that never happened, because there's no win in a fight. I mean, you either hurt, jail, or dead. I mean, not cool. You know what I mean? So tell me how which part of that is a good thing. None of it, right? So it's a good thing. But you talked about self-esteem and self-worth. These are things that you know, a lot of people go to martial arts for that purpose, especially young kids. I mean, there's bullying and things like that. And me, in my case, that was the case. I was bullied, and one way of me to get over the bullying was to get the confidence that I can do something about it. And my parents put me into this, and it taught me the discipline, but it taught me also to stand for my own and show that I'm not afraid. And when you show that you're not afraid, then people say, okay, well, I'm not going to deal with this dude. You know, it works.
Yeah,
so,
it's a double-edged sword, though.
It is.
And why is that? Because I also trained kids. And so you have those kids, some of the kids, they are bullied in school. And you can see sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm,
because how they come in, how they carry themselves. And maybe you can see it a little bit on the parent side too. Some of the kids, they smelled a little bit, you know, didn't wash out every time. So they make themselves target. And not that I'm saying like, hey, if you don't wash yourself, you make yourself a target. But everything combined together, yeah, kids are brutal to each other. And as a parent, you want them to help them in the best way possible, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and so if they bring you the kids and you do lessons with them, and a lot of friends that I have, they advertise with crank up your self-esteem and blah, blah, blah. What happens in my youth, right? I have an older brother, so I'm a little bit smaller than him. And most of the time, if we were out together, I had always like, I get into a fight with someone just because I'm already small. And my brother was more like rowdy. And I was more like, don't do it to me, because most of the time I didn't drink. So I was already like sober. My brother not, right? He was more like party and everything. And when he got drunk, he most time it was he was antagonizing a little bit. So I have to, hey, brother, don't do that, because you gonna end up hurt, and I'm not gonna defend you, right? So because you need to learn a lesson. So, and that happens a couple of times when I was just able to pull him away and nothing happened. But I, on two or three times, I got punched in the back of the head because I walked away from somebody and they still want to do something. And especially when other people say, hey, this guy can do karate or he does martial arts.
Oh man, they challenge you. They want to test you up.
Yes.
They really want to put you to the test, yeah, man.
So
like, let me see if it works.
Right. And you put kids that are maybe bullied, you put them like to a karate, and next time the friend is like, hey, he does karate. Like, yeah, you know, and then you are more antagonized than ever because you put yourself also in a position. So there's so many sides to the story. And I always think you can crank up self-esteem in a lot of ways. It doesn't need to be with karate or martial arts, right? It can be in numerous ways. So I try to even sport naturel, and I did that with kids also in the Netherlands, to build them up strongly and firmly and understand principles. If you understand principles, even if you're of your surroundings, then you have tools to identify yourself within the situation. Who am I within the situation? And that seems to be stronger than I am a martial artist. I know karate in the situation, identity-wise. So there's a lot to say. Because I always feel like conflicted. It's always what if, but if.
Well, but it, that you really raise great questions and great, you know, concept here, because you're right. It is a double-edged sword, and frankly, it can get to your skin, under your skin, when you know that I can handle myself now. You might be looking for that and challenging people. There's that. I mean, but I think depends on what school of thought you've been. Because I mean, a good example, the Karate Kid movie, right? So you have these two schools of thoughts. One is like Miyagi's school of like, we don't, you know, start the fight. Yeah. And the other ones is like, let's just go crazy and knock the hell out of people, right? So I mean, the Karate Kid now is on the series on Netflix. I mean, I think they're like Cobra Kai, whatever, season 6 now or something. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool to watch, actually, the new episodes for those people who have not caught up to them. They're nice. But the idea is like, you know, you have these kind of, you know, concepts where people like, you know, we need to be brutal. We need to show like we mean business and so on and so forth. And you're right. That's not necessarily going to build any more of self-esteem and stuff like that. But there is a sense of at least I know that I can do something about it, as opposed to when you know that you have zero chance. And you're right, the bullies come in. And again, sometimes people do put themselves in a position. You know, I mean, a lot of folks that unfortunately get bullied on are the people who probably, you know, maybe are shy. They don't socialize a lot. You know, maybe they dress different than the other ones. Maybe, you know, people look at you like if you're peculiar in the way you look, shape, form, you know, whatever, how you sound, people will pick on you, and especially kids. Now, we've done also shows about mental health and talked about bullying in a couple of, you know, shows. It is sad to know that these kids themselves, they need the help. I mean, certainly, you know, a lot of the bullying happens because of their circumstances. You know, most people, when they react that way, there's something that drives them to react that way. No one goes out and wants to pick a fight with people and pick on people, but they do it. There's again, talking about self-esteem, that may be sometimes almost a reaction to show that I got something, right? So it's like they're subconsciously, you know, trying to show that I exist, right? And so they demonstrate that way. So there is a lot of, you know, work to be done on both sides here when we're talking about, you know, the bullying. I mean, we can have a whole show about that today. Yeah. but the concept, because self-esteem is everything, right? I think everybody loves themselves. I mean, let's call it what it is. Mm-hmm. And everybody needs to raise up to that. But some people, they tend to feel that they are not worthy, because the environment around them will always tell them that you're not. Maybe they heard it along, you know, from the parents or from friends, and, you know, ooh, and they boo you and stuff like that. And then you're like, you start feeling that you're bad, you collapsing in yourself, like, you know, you don't even think that you have it in you. And that's a big deal, right? So we can change things. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. I mean, again, when I mentioned karate, just you and I, we have something in common, but that's one way. There's a lot of ways, as you said. Now, I love what you said, that you turn things, you choose different things, you have different ways of helping. So let's expand on those potential other ways where someone can feel great about themselves, you know, without even the pressure of knowing that they can fight, for example.
Right, and you tie some things together. It's like if it's a self-love, you want to add worth. And self-love and self-worth is the same thing. And above that is self-esteem. Now, you have people that have a lot of people, and that's how you say it correctly, they love themselves. They have a high self-love, right? And that way also is self-worth. But if the self-esteem is low, what happens then is they are... maybe they show irritation in some settings because they are antagonized, but they have low self-esteem, but they want to defend that because they have self-love. And this is where they can get angry, but because of the self-esteem problem. But on the self-love problem, they love maybe themselves too much. You can also say like, hey, don't take yourself that seriously, right? Because hey, if people say things to you, well, it's just what people say. But if you take yourself that seriously in your self-worth or self-love, you go overboard also. So everything, it has a certain normalcy or a homeostasis, if you will, that if you cross a certain barrier, right or wrong, it's not good, right? You go too far out of the spectrum and then you end up with problems. So that's why I tend to push people on a certain balance. If you have high highs and low lows, you're already out of sorts, right? You are going to face some problems. So I try to minimize that. And if I have some people, they came to me, there's a very with high highs. And then they work out with me. And then I didn't see them for a while. The low lows came, right? And it's like, oh, what's going on? And then he came back, hey, high high again. He was so enthusiastic. And you first need to calm that down. Like, okay, I like your enthusiasm, but where does it come from and how do you utilize this stuff? Because if you understand this, you may understand when the low is going to happen, because it's going to happen. So I work with that more. And this is why I stepped a little bit out of the field of just doing health and fitness and also being the guide a little bit. And why I set the guide is because I try to not just do hold hands, but more I'm standing behind you. And if you look over your shoulder, yes, I'm still there. Right? Without you asking me stuff, hey, what's the answer to this? And if I just give it to you, that means it's not like your own information yet. You can't do anything with it because it's my information that I'm selling into your brain. But it doesn't mean it's yours. And if you deepen that out, and I'm deepening that out more, like you have procedural knowledge. So you try to practice what you are already doing. So if I want to say, like, I want to be good in marketing, then if I just read a book about it and I do listen to podcasts and everything, that doesn't mean nothing yet because there's no prior information I can link it to. So first of all, you want to have a little bit of expertise and you build that up by doing things. And the analogous knowledge that comes after that, so you have to critique what you are reading. You have to critique what you are listening to. If you don't do that, you're not going to make it your own either. So there's a lot of steps before that you can adopt a certain dogmas. Yeah, before you can say like, hey, it belongs to my identity. So me, myself, everybody has an identity and I try to keep my identity small, but a lot of them versatile instead of like I have one identity and this is who I am. Because I don't think it's beneficial for a person just to have one strong identity on something. Let's say for religion, for example, like I'm a Catholic. And if you identify, if you already say I am, therefore you are, I mean, your name is probably John or Jack, but your name is not Catholic, right? So the identification is it's also a gliding scale, and you have to know what you're saying in order to separate the conceptual idea that you hold in your brain with the me form or the I form.
Ooh, that's deep stuff, man. But it's serious stuff too. Like, I love how you kind of break it down in this particular way, because you're right. People have their own highs and lows. We all have that, right? But the ideal, scenario is that we all be in the middle ground, right? So it's not to the far, it's not to the far right or far left or high or low. You got to be centered, and that's a level that requires work. And most of us at points we are lean to one versus the other. Depends on the circumstances around us. And I have to say that unfortunately life happens, and so we have influences through everything that is going through in the world, our families, our work, so all these things are happening, and then they're shaping how we operate. And the minute, like for example, there are people that they want to mimic people because they just, we love these are role models, right? Like in the rich. I mean, now with the world of influence, for example, we have a lot of stuff. People are showing terrific homes and cars and dress code and bags and stuff. And some people are going crazy to do the same exact thing, yet they're different and their circumstances are different. So can you achieve it? Now, of course, from an achievement and a personal goal achievement, personality. Yeah, everybody, I always say, if you're gonna dream, dream big. I mean, go crazy, scare yourself, and that's okay. Go after your dreams, but don't let it, affect you, in adverse ways where you can lose yourself into these things, right? So you have to know what you're doing, when you're doing it at all times. Now, if you don't, that's when you seek help or guidance and get the somebody's, assistance. I love what you do. It's not so much that you hold in hand and give them here's the formula to do it. You're there. You give them the basics, and they'll go on their own, discover it, but you're available to them as they need that little, hey, what do I do in this case? Okay, here's what we can do now. And you're always there behind, the scene to help. It's like it's there are people that are always around you that kind of, you kind of soundboard with them, right? You just kind of like go to them like, hey, what do you think? They're not busy with you like in your business, but they're available to you whenever you need them. And those are great people that are always there for. And when you have someone like that, you got to cherish them, right? That's a beautiful thing. And so that's a big one. And I love the concept you said, like, loving yourself is a priority, but there's a way to do that. I mean, loving yourself where you kind of like hate everybody and, or, think that you're better than everybody and so on and so forth. That's vanity. That's bad. Loving yourself means you got to take care of
Okay.
I mean, am I right or
Well, yeah.
am
I say it again, but it depends, right?
I
Why did I say it depends? Because sometimes vanity is a way to get somewhere. I've been with a guy who he's a first he was a photographer, and then he became he wanted to be bulk and he wanted to be a bodybuilder. And what he was chasing is a certain vanity. And this is great. And he wanted to have a big car. And yes, you do that long enough, and then I think you understand why you're after it, right? So it has the period of like, I need to follow this structure first. I need to have this power and this wealth to become someone that I want to be. Then I can ditch all that power and that wealth and really be myself. So sometimes it's a road to get somewhere, to be closer to yourself and to accept your environment. But yeah, it to me, right? It's not like a one cut strategy. So sometimes, yeah, I push them into it. Like, if you want to do this, get all the knowledge about this, be all about it, right? Be this bodybuilder and understand all these principles and know why you're doing this. And eventually, there is most of the time there's a turnaround. I have this. I have all this money. I have this seven cars that I wanted. But what now? And then you have to start working again, right? So you work on one end to get things, but then you have to lose some things. What is baggage to you? Like, what is really that you don't need? And you cannot see what you don't really need until you have it. And that's a difficulty of it.
It is, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm smirking here because you're right. I mean, when I talk about vanity in a literal world that, you know, someone is vain, they're just, you know, they're following stuff that is not. But do you put it in the context of really goals? And, you know, yes, you love something bad, you're going to go after it and you make it work. But you're right. There are many things that we run after. And, you know, once you get them, it's like, really? This is it? I mean, it wasn't really that hot. It wasn't, you know, the greatest thing that I've. You know, and then you realize, you know, things that are better in life, for example, right? You know, how maybe being just a kind person could be a lot better than something like that. I mean, many things. And I think throughout that journey, when you are going after some sort of a, you know, a goal like that, you know, you will discover yourself further, you know. And that, by the way, that could be a bad thing too, because you could discover that you have some bad, you know, character in you. And you can, and that's the other thing. When you know, then it's easier to fix. The problem is, you can't fix what you don't know, you know.
Right.
At least when you discover who you are, and what you're about, maybe, you know, you can get, you know, like, I don't like who I've become, right? You know, or maybe I love who I am, you know. So those things are important for us as humans to kind of discover, you know, really. And you help people discover themselves. You know, that's a good way, like, you know, in your work that you do, you kind of get them almost like from the emotional, psychological, you know, the beliefs. You work all that angle with them, and that's a beautiful thing. But I think we owe it to ourselves in general as humans to do that. And you're right. I mean, listen, I've pursued a lot of things in my life. Some of them, they were fulfilling. Some of them was like, you know, why did I even do this? Just because I wanted to, because I wanted to prove something. And then sometimes you find out that's not even a proving something to anybody. It's like, you know, you don't even prove it to yourself. But you think you're doing it because you want to prove to the world, you know, like, you know, I got this, I can do this. And it is an interesting dynamic, you know, as humans, like the debates that we have with ourselves. You know, if you're watching or listening, you know, just do the question. How many of you right now watching or listening have debated with yourselves, you know, about yourselves? You know, like, am I good? Am I bad? What am I doing? You know, am I doing for the wrong reason, the right reason? Am I doing for a girl? Am I doing for a guy? Am I doing for this? Am I doing for that? Am I doing for my parents? You know, am I doing for the boss because I want to get impressive, you know, and get the next hire? I mean, there's so many things. Why do I work out? Do I work out because I want to be fit and healthy, or do I work out because I want to get nice dates on the streets, right? There's people do things for different reasons, right? You know, why do I dress? Do I dress to impress people, or just to dress because I love to dress good and feel good about myself? You know, all these are questions that when you start asking them about yourself, you're like, and as you, I have to say this, like, every decade changes you. You know, so the longer you live, folks, I mean, the longer you start shifting. I mean, like, literally, I look back sometimes. There are things that I've done that I'm like, I was literally just dumb. You know, I mean, like, you know, there was no reason for doing, like, you know, good example, like, you know, I see things, people do stunts and jump from things. It's like, ask me to do that stuff now, I will never do it. Now, there was a point in my life I did all that crazy stuff, and I'm like, why did I have to subject myself to that risk? I mean, it was unnecessary. What would I have achieved with it? Nothing, you know. But again, someone can argue, like, well, hurricane, you know. That's fulfilling for me at the time. That's fine. That's what Christian is talking about. It's like, find it, go through it, see what's up. What makes, you know, whether it's gonna be it and what's the outcome at that point, you'll discover that. No one can tell you except you. But this is what I'm referring to, my own experiences, as where I've done things that not regret, because I don't regret anything in my life. But could I have done it differently if I had a way back? I would. Would I have done things the way I know things today? Maybe I haven't. You know, like, there's some things you do, you don't think the repercussions, because you may not feel them or the impact right away. The impact can be 10 years later, whether it's health, physical. Listen, talking about martial arts. Well, listen, you push your limits, you know, at a certain point when you're young, then you start feeling those pains later. You know how many times I hurt myself? You know, sometimes I wonder, like, why? You know, yes, no risk, no reward, no pain, no gain. I mean, these are real concepts too. And I kind of, you justify things with these things, right? These are things that have been almost promoted to us since you are born in this world. You hear those, and they're like subjected to them more and more and more. So it's very powerful stuff that we live in. But so I love your concept where you allow people to discover themselves, and they'll discover themselves, you know, and they'll question things. But with the permission to do so, because some people will do things and still not question everything. They just go with the flow. You know, so how do you deal with that?
Yes, and that is that a little bit of I think the tease in me, and I don't know how to call that. But there are different words for it, and I know it better in Dutch than in English. But in English, we'll be a rascal, and I have that in me. I like to tease and poke. So what happens? I was a coach for a while for 4 years, from a for a impersonator, an Elvis impersonator. I like Elvis Presley music, and so this guy is just like, "Hey, you sing yourself a little bit, and you travel over the world. Can you coach me? Because I have stage fright. I don't want to stay on the podium in another country, but I won this radio contest, and he asked me to go over there to America. Would you come with me?" I said, "Oh, sure." So I said, "Well," we started off as like, "What do you struggle with?" "Well, I never really sang in front of an audience." I said, "Well, that's a cool thing then. First doing it on a live stage where a lot of people are. I mean, that's how you get it done." And eventually, we went to America, and he did this thing. So I helped him out. But come to find out, like, Elvis Presley had certain, let's say, temper tantrums, whatever you call it. He was angry sometimes. And in full character, we were sitting in a hotel room, and eventually he turned a little bit on me, had a little bit of an attitude. And I think, hey, I know you from when we were much younger. I know where you are, where you've been, and where you're going. Like, there's no way to talk to me like this or act like that to me with your behavior. And it's like, I'm not your slave. I'm just here to help you out, right? But he started to demand things. Hey, like, we were sitting in a hotel room. He says, "Hey, close the door for me." And I don't do well with that. I said, "What? What do you say?" So, yeah, he did, right? Right? And that is maybe not the best thing. It's a certain identity that came up inside of me. Like, my father's a bouncer, and he parented us in a certain way. And there was no way to speak to my father that way, right? And somehow it's transmuting to the children. So when I hear that, and it's like, hey, it can be serious, like, it's not what I like. So I said, "Hey, guess what? Do it yourself." And he started to have like a word, and within seconds, he was sitting on his bed. I jumped on him, and I grabbed him, I put him in a chokehold, just for fun, right? I'm not really choking up. I said, like, "Hey, you really want to say this again?" And he was all of a sudden, "Get off me." "No, no, no. You want to say this again? Get off." "No, no, no. You want to say this again?" Like, get you back to that a base level. Where are we? What are we doing? Right? And eventually, when I squeezed a little bit, he said, "Oh, let me go, let me go." And okay. I said, "Well, if you say this again, I do the exact same thing again until you understand why you're saying it and what you're saying." And eventually he came to, he's like, "Yeah, I said this, well, I'm totally enrolled with Elvis Presley." I said, "I get that. I get that. But we are still friends. You don't treat each other like this. And if you were Elvis and I was his friend, I would say the same thing to Elvis at that
Elvis.
time and probably helped him along the way. Who knows?" So there's a way of coaching things and bring people back to, hey, where are you? So I poke people, even in fitness, and when people want to be trained by me, I tell them, I will poke you. I will find weak spots, because we all have them. I have them, and I try to make it stronger. I'm not there to make you feel pain. And yeah, so if somebody doesn't want to listen or learn or anything, eventually, if you don't want to agree on our agreement, then I can't do anything for you. But if you agree on it, and you won't try as much as I would like you, then I start poking, and then something will come out, something will come from it, if you like it or not. But then eventually you have something tangible. You have behavior that you can talk about, that you can push a little bit or guide a certain way. But if you never do that, you're just like there for them to work out, throwing some dumbbells around, then yes, they did something for the muscles, but nothing for the brain eventually. And I like to work on both. When you while you're at it anyway, you're working out.
But it's a great form of looking at things, because I mean, your example, someone's watching is like, dude, you just put this dude on the chokehold. Well, again, you're a friend. You can get away with
Yeah,
that one.
your
But,
friends.
I get it. But you're right. Like, you see that, but that's the thing. Like, the person got into so much character that really he behaved in that same thing. And by the way, that's psychologically sound. I mean, people actually, you know this, and I think I stated this, and we even talked about it in the mental health show, is that when you put a uniform on, you'll behave with that uniform.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when you put the gi in the dojo, you don't feel the same without a gi. I'm telling you. You know, having that gi somehow gives you powers. I mean, it sounds weird, but it just like you feel that you really fit the role of whatever that gi does, as opposed to when you don't, you're almost naked. It changes like, really. Listen, BJJ guys, they do that all the time. They have the gis and they have like the regular, like, you know, the tight stuff, you know, when they do the wrestling, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, that it's a different sensation when you have the gi versus not. I mean, when you stand, you know, with your belt and you're like, you're really like, you feel like, and by the way, same thing, if you were just to go put a BDU, like, you know, those military, you know, things for, you know, for fun.
Yeah.
Like you wear a BDU, you feel like a little different, right? You know, like when you are, and if you put a security uniform, you'll think that you're secure.
Yeah.
This actually, there was an experiment that did, you know, that was done where they put a bunch of people that are just
in the 60s, I guess.
Yeah, it was a bunch of people. They give them two roles, inmates and security guards, you
out
know,
of control.
And they went out of control. Again, this is not fun. It's real stuff. So when people get into character, and that's actually where the greatest actors, you know, thrive. They get into the character. I mean, they become the character. You know, like when you talk to them, their voice changes, their behavior changes, their attitude changes. Yeah. I mean, they really, that's how they become. I mean, they even practice that in real life until they finish whatever that movie that they're working on. So, and movie is not acting, it's role-playing. So they become the role. And that's really, that's the biggest thing that people don't realize. So it's all in the mind and how you behave. So you're right. Your dude, you know, you were there for him, but he just all of a sudden crossed that border and thought that you were just, you know, the help there. And that didn't work for him well.
No, and the thing still is like, and I said it too, like if you were Elvis Presley, I would say the same thing. I would do the same thing because I don't think you should do this, right? Because of your own dissatisfaction about things, you should not just lash out to other people. I mean, it's just common sense.
But it happens though, right?
People
do that all the time. I mean, listen, you go to a, I don't know, I'm not going to, you know, I know you said your dad was a bouncer, but I've been to places where you have a bouncer and you know, he's standing at the door and he's behaving like
I know what you're going through.
It's just a job, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that serious, right? You know, I mean, I'm sorry, the analogy, but
not at all. You know, I mean, what you're saying is what my father said about other bouncers. And even that bouncer that worked with him, he had to still, it's like, hey, you're just here to see if everything goes well. If it doesn't, you talk to them, right? It's not like, hey, you are the man here. Like, no, but, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, like I'm giving an example, something that you mentioned, but you see it in a lot of places. You put someone in a store and, you know, they become like, you know, they're like, hey, what are you doing? Like, bro, if we go on the street, we're the same people, man, you know, so.
Yeah,
but those are the things that happen. So behavior is a big thing, and you're right. Like mentoring and coaching and guiding people to kind of see themselves and building the feelings and stuff. You know, and by the way, a lot of these things are again driven by environments. A lot of people may have been, you know, maybe undermined, you know, when they were younger and whatever. So whatever authority, even in corporate, right? When you give someone, we have that, like, you know, the power trips, right? You become a manager, and now you're like I own the place, you know. You know, everybody's like your servant. Doesn't work that way. No, I have to say, it is a stage that people, you know, have to adjust to. And you're right, you got to develop into whatever it is that you're doing. And you get to a point where it's like, now I get it. Like I get the true essence of things. And then when you do, like, it's a good feeling. It's really, sensation, right? You feel like, wow, you know, liberated. So it's a very different approach when you have someone that is helping you kind of identify those levels and balancing. And by the way, sometimes we don't have the ability to do it on our own. It's just what it is. So help is always needed. And you know what? Whether listening to the show, working with someone in person, I love what you said earlier, you walk in, listen to podcasts. There's a lot of great information out there from top experts of the world. And these are not the ones you're going to probably find on regular, you know, media or TV, you know, because, I mean, they may get a few selected people on a guest here and there, but the millions out there that have so much knowledge, they're not available either. Now, you want to read books, that's the other place. So that takes us to your book. You know, books are like literally the biggest thing that's ever been created, because books are information and knowledge that you know descends and continues, you know, for eternity. As long as the books live, they're going to exist, right? And now they have even digital and audio ones, so they have different versions of that, but they're different because they guide you and help you. Now, you wrote the book. The name of the book is, let me see.
Yeah, what is it? Tell me.
Sport Naturel? No, that's not.
To make yourself think for yourself.
There you go. All right, hold on. You know, I had it in front of my eyes and then I disappeared.
Maybe this
there it is. To meet yourself, think for yourself. I love that. I mean, just the title. That I don't know. I mean, yeah. You had to come up with something, you know, real catchy, and that's pretty catchy. I mean, it's like that's really asking yourself.
Right. Yes. That's what I'm about. So it was closest to how I think in that way, in that regard.
Well, so what drove you to write the book? I mean, was it the work you do or the book drove you to do the work? Which one started?
No. Yeah. So I've been asked a couple of times, like, how do you come up with this? This concept of how you see those things. And well, it's combined psychology, of course. And I did a minor at university at the time, and I was interested, but I also had my major going. There was a Bachelor of Sports at the time. So I did a lot of things, and eventually I was telling, like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And he asked me, like, hey, can you write it down or something? Yeah, well, it's not that easy. So, and I went back and I thought about I wanted to do 100 years of psychology. I wanted to put it on one page, right? If that is even possible, because there's so much out there. And I did 6 years of research and 2 years of writing, maybe a little bit of longer because you started off slow and then eventually it picks up pace. And still researching things and come across a lot of different thinkers. And eventually I thought, this is like where it is and this is how I view it. And there's a lot of Eastern mentality in there too, because of, hey, if you want to know something, you probably end up with certain Eastern philosophies. That's what I think, at least. Doesn't mean anything.
it's pretty solid stuff. I mean, you know, I love it. You even said the idea of, it's a combination of a lot of things that are with you from previous years, from your education. So, and you know, it's amazing. Like, you know, you don't realize the things we have in our background, they stay with you for life. Like, you know, sometimes I have discussions about biology and science. Now, long, long time ago, you know, I had some science background, and believe it or not, that stuff is still there. So when it almost like it's all, you know, stored somewhere in a folder in the back of the brain, and it starts coming up. So it helps, you know, so a lot of the stuff is also influenced. I mean, the idea of even starting the health and wellness and fitness, you know, it's a combination of my history between the work I've done, the passions I have, you know, and the environment that I've been in, and the, just the mission to kind of help people and guide people the same way you do. I mean, I'm not a guide or a coach or a mentor, but through the work and bringing experts and stuff, that's the idea. It's like to educate, enlighten, inspire, and motivate. And so, yep. So it is amazing that it doesn't fail. You exactly did the same thing. Use all that stuff, and then over a couple of years, some research, and then you wrote this stuff that is intended to help people kind of discover themselves and really know who they are. And you know, someone watching right now, you know, you might think that you know who you are. That do you? That's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, do we know who we are? I mean, sometimes we don't even know who we are.
No, you're not going to find out either. Yeah, I came to that far. I mean, if you talk to people, to like, you can say you know yourself, but you don't, because you can see it as a. And I think Alan Watts says it very well. He says, like, if you have a headlight of an automobile, it doesn't, it cannot see, it cannot shine the light on where it is, like, attached to the battery. Like, it cannot see how it is involved into making that light. It's the same thing with us. We cannot see our subconscious. It's there. We know it's there, but we don't have any control over it. That little control that we think we have is so marginally. So if you really think, I don't think you can ever say, like, know yourself, like, I know myself. I think you can only say, I know myself in certain situations in how I behave, right? So there's a lot of phrasing involved.
Well, I know myself to date. I mean, really, because you don't know who you're going to be tomorrow and the day after, and the more you might just transform based on different information that you get and change. I mean, look, we've got through world events and things like that. People change opinions about a lot of things, and we change that. And you're right, like it's amazing because that's a big philosophical question about like who are you? I mean, who am I? I
Yeah.
mean,
I'll
it's
go.
like it's difficult because think about it, right? We know that we are, we exist, we have, personality and stuff. But sometimes here's one thing that I always tell people. And actually, I enjoy watching a lot of sports, war, and disaster movies, personally. Why? And it's funny because when I watch these movies, I start identifying with different characters. Well, questioning, like, would I have been this guy or that guy? Would I have done this? What would I have done if I were in their shoes? And when you start asking these questions, you go nuts because you're like, God, dude, I think I'm bad. Sometimes you're like, because you start leaning towards one versus the other. I mean, it's amazing. Like when you start comparing your behavior and how you would do something in these situations, you'd be surprised. And you see the best of people and the worst comes in disasters and difficult situations. People tend to be nice. I mean, you see Hurricane. This guy is really. I mean, my name is Hurricane. That's kind of weird, but that's not my real name. But he's saw. He's nice and stuff. But I may have. And by the way, every one of us has two sides. We have that crazy one, and the good one. And the question is, who do we elevate? To the occasion. I mean, do we bring the bigger one, the better one, or the worst one of us? And sometimes events and circumstances can tend to do this. But anyone that is balanced as your work do, or your work does, you can start kind of like questioning things. And by the way, the more you ask questions, the better you find things, answers, right? And so a lot of people don't know because they don't ask the questions. They'll just wait until the last minute and they behave, a certain way. And we see those again characters in movies where, and by the way, I give the reference to movies. They're a reflection on real life stuff. You see that guy or the gal that's always like jumpy. Oh, who put you in charge? Who's like, well, go ahead, do your thing, man. You lead the way. We good, right? Oh, you go your way, I do my way. I don't have to follow you. You don't have to follow me, right? But whenever someone starts to make a decision, there's some guy that challenges the decision. There's always someone that does. And by the way, in real life, it always happens. You say something, the first default is that people are gonna always go against whatever you said. By default, we just do that, right? It's natural. And like, why does it have to be that way? Like, you'd expect people, like, if you say, let's do this, it's gonna look good. And everyone's like, oh yeah, it's gonna sound like good. No, people are gonna say, no, it's not gonna work. Why is it gonna work? They give you 10 reasons why things don't work. Like in business, I hate when someone comes to me and says, oh, this is not gonna work. Well, don't tell me it's not gonna work. Just tell me different things that are working. Because at the end of the day, that's all I want. I don't care what works, what doesn't work. I just want it to work. So don't tell me why this thing is not working and why it cannot work. Just give me solutions. Don't give me the no's. Give me the yeses, the different things that we can do better. Because we're dwelling on why it's not gonna work and how it's not gonna work. Well, we can dwell about like how do we improve things and get better.
I instantly ask him, what are you fear of? What are you fearing?
Oh
Because I
boy.
don't share your fear, right? So I come to different conclusions. And so there's so many things related to insecurities and fears in our decision making. And it's very, like for a lot of people, it's very true. But also they create that narrative and they create their world with it. So if you repeat yourself over and over yourself, guess what would happen? Not the opposite. So there's a lot of things that what you say. If you're always combating someone else, then what is your story then? What do you stand for? And all of a sudden, if it becomes a little bit more quiet there, then you understand. Yeah, some people are not comfortable to make an own story, but they are very easy to shoot your story off. And I get that with my book too. I mean, yeah, it's easy. To say like, oh, this book is rubbish. Yeah, you can say that. I mean, even if you open a page, you don't like it, you can say it. But like if a person is there at some point and they understand what I'm talking about, they can say, hey, there's value in this. So I cannot bother myself too much with
That's great because here's the thing. You touch on something that's still very powerful, and we see more of it today. And let me expand on that. You talked about the book. You know your book is not rubbish. Your book is solid. It's yours of stuff, and it's there's opinion, there's research, there's all the stuff that you put in. It's the idea that you wanted to convey, and there is a lot of good stuff in it that, you know, if not all of it, to some people. Some people may not even see a value, and that's okay. It's not for them. That's the thing. When you don't like something, it's not for you. It's like we go to a restaurant. You put a plate of food in front of me. I don't like it. It's not for me. I don't. That doesn't mean the food is bad. It's just not for me. So this is the same thing concept. We see this a lot more on social media. You put anything, a post, anything, a reel, you know, anything. And sometimes I just scroll down the comments, and I'm not even talking about my own. I'm looking at just different, you know, posts. And I'm always amazed at the answers. Like the topic is here. We're talking about space, and someone talks like, well, we should be feeding people here on Earth. Okay, but that's a great opinion, but that's not what that's not what the reel was about. You know, so people just sometimes they dump comments that have no reference to the actual context of what is actually being, you know, promoted in that particular video or reel or post. You know, and that goes for everything, right? You put a show, you know, someone has to criticize the show or the book or something. Bro, this is not for you. If you don't like what you hear and watch right now, it's okay. There's plenty of others. There's millions of shows out there. Do your stuff. It's like when you have TV, right? How many channels do we have? Thousands of channels to choose from. You don't watch them all. You watch the ones you like. That's it. Some people are going to like us. Some people are going to like something else. Just do that. But when you criticize, what's the point? Just you want to make a point somehow? Like that you...
No, I think on a deeper level, I think, right? On a deeper level, I think it's a form of survival. In a way of, hey, I want to survive. So in a physical way, it's like the strongest may survive or the smartest one. Mm. And that holds stake, right? So if you transfer that to a conceptual being, identity, how do I survive? And how I survive is, okay, I can read a book. I can write a book. And surviving conceptually from there, because if you read this, then hey, it becomes part of you. So in this way, I'm ensuring my survival. If I am commenting on your podcast or whatever it is, then I am surviving because I instill my conceptual thoughts inside of you, and therefore I exist. So it's a very strong need to do so, to survive conceptually in an identity way. So I totally understand why those comments are made, and sometimes not even in line with the original subject, but it's just there to like feed themselves in, I want to survive and I'm fearful, you know?
Listen, I kind of agree with you in the structure of the concept, but like sometimes I don't like put it together, like, you know, why? Like, see, for me, for example, it's like, that would be a worst of my time. I mean, you know, a waste of my time to go in and comment. Like, I see stuff. I don't comment. You know what? Even my posts, I don't put comments. I put a picture, and I believe in the picture is worth 1,000 words. You know, to me, that's more than enough. You know, you see it, you get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have to put like additional stuff to just justify that I'm actually existing. We have, and I have a little bit of opinion about things. The fact that I posted it means that I have some sort of an opinion about it. Yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even posted it. And I just, these are just examples. But that's the thing. Like, and I get it. You know, people listen. There's a lot of people have to just express themselves somehow. And, you know, but they do. But you do it in your own, in the environments, you know, that are appropriate. You know, when you do it in the wrong environment, it's like, you don't belong, man. You know, but, you know, that's okay. You know, like... Yeah. I don't see the need to go. If I see something I don't like, I'm not even going to take the time to go and put the energy and type the stuff and just comment and give stuff. You know, I see something I'm like, move up. That's it. You don't exist. Like, you know, I'm not even going to get involved. You know what I mean? So life is too precious. You know, time is a commodity that we're running out of. And every time you waste time on something that may not be valuable, why are you doing it? Now, that's just my opinion. Again, you know, we're two people having, you know, different discussion about, you know, our opinions and so on and so forth. But the idea is, it's a debate out there, and we can have thousands of opinions about the same topic right now. As a matter of fact, if we get thousands of people around the world and we had the same exact subject matter, let's discuss those comments, we're going to have multiple versions of, like, you know, some for, some against, you know, why and why not, right? And if we can get over the expert that are psychology and psychiatry experts, they'll probably find a good description, you know, description in the world of psychiatry as why it's happening. Now, again, it's human behavior. You talked about the fittest or the brightest or the betters, you know, the best, you know, all these things, you know, it's like, it's part of our human nature. We want it.
Yep.
But we need to, again, this is all about finding yourself, right? Discovering yourself, getting to know yourself, you know, and getting to know yourself is very difficult because we might be surprised when we dig in, you know, deeper inside of ourselves, who we are. Because again, we sometimes can, like you can go in a circuit in an event, right? And the least assumable or assuming person or the least, you know, prominent person can be the most surprising person and the most, you know, active person to make the difference in the situation. And it happens all the time. You know, you don't always, like, you know, some people, they look at people that almost kind of like, oh, this is the person that's going to be in charge or doing this. And they may be the shyest person, the most panicky person in the room. They won't even, you know, do anything about it. People judge based on the view, right? You see somebody, you determine, like, this is the, like what you said earlier, your brother is the taller, the bigger guy, and you're the smaller guy, right? You're the one that people may not, you know, think that you're the tough guy, but you're the tougher one. You know, I mean, listen, my best friend is 6 foot, you know, five, whatever. I mean, he's huge. You know, and I'm a shorter guy compared to him. So I'm the more dangerous guy than him. But, you know, but when they see both of us, I'm not the one that they're going to be like worried about. They're worried about him. Because it's like you're looking at a truck and a little Fiat, right? A Fiat is not dangerous, you know, but it can still hurt. But so those are the things. But, you know, it's amazing. Like the more you start figuring out behavior and people and stuff, it changes stuff. Now, Christian, we're coming to the end of the hour here, but there's quite a bit, you know, in your work in terms of the modality, in terms of the system that you use, the way you approach your I guess clients. It's very unique and really, I have to say, impressive, because I, you know, like I deal with, you know, I've had a lot of coaches and, you know, and different mentors and stuff. And there's different angles, and I have to say, every one of them comes in with their own signature, and you have a unique signature. And again, there's the culture part of it. You know, I mean, certainly someone that is environment, you know, in one place versus other place can change. I mean, you're from the you know, the Netherlands, right? I mean, am I getting right?
Yep.
So different culture, different stuff. There's different feed, different education, different systems. So all these things can make a whole different spin on how you do things. And that's the other thing, folks. There's not one way. There's thousands of ways out there, and they're all good ways, and just find the one, the formula that is going to work for you. That's all there is. Now, Christian, how do you work with people? First of all, are you global? Are you local? Are you only virtual? Are you in person? How do you do that?
Yeah, this what I'm talking about is more personal, because if you want to poke someone, you need to know them a little bit, right?
Yeah, listen, we can poke each other from here.
right. But sometimes it doesn't work. Like if you see, and this is just fun, right? So if I went to the America, we don't really have the Afro-American people, because I find them funny. And not that I say like, hey, everybody's like an Eddie Murphy, but in general, to me, how they talk and how they make jokes, I mean, it's funny as heck to me. But I cannot go up to them. It's like, hey, nigga, what's up? Like, that doesn't sound well, right? If I am talking the language and I look the part, and yes, I can probably say that in the right way. So that's why I poke maybe better when I do personal things. But I'm just busy with more virtual things so that I can expand a little bit. Because if you live in a small town in Texas, they're not everybody wants to, let's say, do health and fitness, especially in the heat here. So it's nice to have different people from different places and different minds, you know, and I'm always interested in how people do things. So yes, I'm busy now to put that in there, and hopefully I can get that out as soon as possible. But it will probably be next year that I have class or something out there.
Well, listen, I mean, it's great work you do. And you're right. I mean, when you want to deal with a particular person, community and so on, I mean, it's difficult to do it, you know, because it's out of context. You know, when you're with the group, it's a lot accept. It's more acceptable when you say it. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, you can insult someone very easily. They don't know you, but if they know you, they know you're not meaning to insult. You're just having fun with them. And that's really, sometimes things get out of context easily because people don't even get the concept, you know, and they just take it in like, oh my God, you just insulted me. Bro, we're just having a good time here, right?
That's the thing. Like what I said before, if you don't take yourself so serious and you are willing to look at someone's intention, if the intention is not at all to hurt you or to whatever what you think is going on, but see it positively, most of the time you come to a different conclusion and you have an easy go in life, I think.
Well, that's a big one. I mean, I have a belief, you know, in our, I guess, tenet, religious tenets, there is a belief that everything is based on intentions. Mm. So whatever you do in life has to have intentions. As a matter of fact, we had a show about having intentions to do things. You know, like, you know, everything revolves, whether you're in business and work. I mean, even in business, I mean, think about it. You do a business plan. You plan, you set goals. That's intention. You set up your intention to do certain things. Intention is everything. You're right. In discussion, in comments, in joking. You know, you can tell when someone is joking. I mean, unless you're really a comedian and you can play games, you know, an actor. You know, that's a tough one. Sometimes hard to tell. But for the average person, if I'm joking with you, you would know it. And if I'm not joking with you, you would know it too. You know, if I don't have anything to do with you and I just come out of the blue and kind of say something, that's probably not going to sound too good to you. But if we establish a relationship and I throw in something, it's not going to be offensive to you or like you're going to be, you know, all guards up because you know that I'm not that kind of person. So it changes. Again, we're talking about behavioral stuff and human factor is big. But the more we understand how we operate, you know, it's like, what is our operating system? We can do better, right? And sometimes, again, we go back to the help, the assistance, such as you, Christian, and people that do the work that you do. So again,
a little tie-in, right? Like just cutting back, when I said, when I was with the Elvis impersonator, I mean, I don't take things seriously, but you have to take things seriously a little bit more when you are in a closer relationship, let's say with your wife or not, right? So you take certain things seriously, like, hey, if we are commenting negative on each other, this is not going to help. So you have to be serious in that. Like if someone comments on me like negatively and I don't know them, I don't really care. Like it's more like, yeah, I cared at some point. But it's like, yeah, it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do someone else anything good. So again, there's nuance to that story of like, yes, my identity is not involved. If someone comes up to me, it's like, hey, you, I don't know what they want to say. You're a little hobbit because I'm not that tall, you know? I was like, yeah, I probably am a hobbit in some standards. Look at the Dutch. You're all 6 or 7 foot tall. Like I'm 5'7". So
we're by the same. So yeah, I feel your pain, man.
Yeah. So there's nothing. But the thing is, like, yeah, I can still laugh about it because I don't really care. But you know, if your wife says like, hey, you always doing this. Why do you do this crap? And you always like blah blah blah. That negative stuff. Like you don't want that in a relationship. So you have to set some standards or some boundaries there to say like, hey, how do we want to interact with each other? I mean, if we do it in this way, it's okay. If you want it for 10 minutes and blow some steam, yeah, great. But after that, we need to be on a certain train here, right?
But I love what you said because you're right. It all depends on who, where, and you're right. The closer you are to people. But again, when you get closer to people and they get to know you long enough, they know your character. They know what takes, what doesn't. When you're with a tall stranger, they don't know you. And that's when they press the wrong buttons because they'll step on the wrong toe. I'm like, I don't know you like that. You shouldn't be, you know, crossing that line with me. Like, again, and you're right. You know, sometimes you got to put your foot up and say like, whoa, hey, hold the horses. Talking about Texas here, right? Yeah. You know, so it makes a difference, right? So it's all, again, folks, whatever we're talking about here, it's not very surprising to many of us. If you're watching or listening, this is stuff that you probably know or have heard, but sometimes when we hear it in this format, when you hear it with structure and as a form, as an actual system, it makes a very good difference, you know, to how we can do things for ourselves. And certainly we can be better to our environment and the people that we work with, because as you said, your family, you probably can do better if you know what to do and not to do at any given point, right? Where to go and what's your limit to everything. Because that's the thing, we all have limits. And if we don't know when to stop, sometimes people joke, but they go beyond the joke.
Yeah.
And the joke becomes, you know, like, hey, this is corny, man. You got to stop this shit. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. And then they become serious. Like, you know, we all have to know when to speak, when not to speak, when to go further, when to back off. You know, and those are things that you learn based on, I guess, experience, sometimes the hard ways, because you'll get to the wrong crowd and they're not going to be so pleased. They're going to tell you off. You know, yeah. So I mean, again, talking about Texas, you mess around with Texas, you know, someone, I mean, we hear this all the time. Everybody carries a gun, right? So that could be a problem. you don't go mock people too much, because you never know who's carrying, you know, stuff with them. Maybe everybody. So again, you never know where you are. You know, you always have to be careful and gauge. But again, this goes back to your book, to your work, is like, let's talk about who I am. Let's figure out how I can do things so I can do better things in this world. So now your book is available Amazon everywhere.
Yes, it's on Amazon, indeed. Easy to get. I'm now also busy with how do you call it? Audible.
To get nice. That done.
And I'm also translating the book now. And some is translating in Chinese, because the story is a little bit in Foshan in China. Fatsan is how you say it over there. And it goes about me meeting this old and wise Sifu. And the things that I know, even you can't see your own black sides of your own skull, you know, your own brain. And he's more there to shine a light on certain things. So even you think you know something, there's always someone who knows a lot more than you think. So this is kind of that story I put in format.
Well, that's a big fact. I mean, the fact is, there's always someone that knows better than you.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, for some people out there, they might think that may not be true, but it is a rule. There's always someone that's going to know more. I mean, there are some rules of life. This is one of them that never fails, and it will never fail historically and in the future. It's like, we know what we know. Someone's going to know more. And maybe the next generation is going to know more. And even people before us may have known more. You don't know. There's always, so you don't know it all. You're not the best of everything. You know, you're good. That's great. But there's always better. And you know, you're strong. There's always stronger.
Yes. Know? And this thing is that the Sifu is also able to see it from different ways. So maybe, as you know, old senseis and Sifus, they tend to be a little bit traditional. And there's, if you come up with a different input, they're not always like very open to that. So, and if you meet a person that is actually listening, maybe not saying something at the spot, so he's not reacting, but he will respond in his way, in his fashion, in his form, that is more beneficial to you and for him. This is what I try to convey to the reader. So,
that's powerful stuff, man. It's mind games, baby. I love it. but you're right. And you know, people are set on, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's a fact. You know, for the most part, as we age, you know, in our knowledge and everything, we kind of get locked into it. You know, a lot of people, you know, especially today, for example, even technology, some people don't catch up with technology because they refuse to get, you know, with the program, right? You know, it's knowledge is one thing that you do not want to lock. You want to keep it open. You know, information, anything that is happening, you have to be abreast of what's going on, the updates. You got to be updated. You got to be version today, not yesterday, because yesterday is gone and that version is obsolete already. And so in knowledge, the same thing. I mean, the information we have today is not what we had 100 years ago, right? And so, you know, but individually, we can sometimes close our, you know, minds to anything that is new and different. And actually, the more we open to different, the more we can actually be better in terms of stuff. But you're right. The book sounds very intriguing and the story sounds pretty interesting, you know. And again, so folks, please do check out the book and see it for yourself, and do reach out to Christian, you know, if you need some, you know, guide, you know, to be available to you and guide you to discover who you are and build your self-esteem, your self-worth, of course. All right. So before we end our show, Christian, anything that you want to share, you know, like to leave us with as words of wisdom?
Oh, that much, but don't take yourself so seriously. It's a good one, I guess.
I love it. That's a good one. That's super one, man. That's a good one. I didn't expect that one. That's a good one. All right. Well, listen, exactly. I mean, life is not that serious, folks. You know, we can have fun. We can enjoy ourselves. We can be great with other people. We can be good to ourselves. And I think that's important because at the end of the day, you count, right? We count. Number one, he's here. You know, like I said, people, I love everybody, but I love number one first. You know, I mean, everybody's number one to themselves, right? So you always have to take care of you so you can take care of others better, right?
Yep.
So anyway, so hope you enjoyed our show today. This discussion is cool, intense, fun, and definitely deep. So Christian, thank you so much for being with us, man. It was fun.
Thank you,
Appreciate
thank you,
man. Anytime, man. My pleasure. All right. So that's the end of it. We're wrapping it up. You know, American Age. We'll be talking soon. New Danish Fun Topic.